Today's daf is Soita daf Memches, and we are at the fourth wide line, the Mishnah on daf Memches Amud Aleph. So the latter part of Masechta Soita was very much a digression of the core sugyas of the Soita. In fact, the name of the last perek is Egla Rufa. It discussed the laws of Egla Rufa. Now, why would we be discussing the laws of Egla Rufa Masechta Soita? It's because the Mishnah, in the beginning of the seventh parak, discussed Elu Nemarim B'chol Lashon, the Elu Nemarim B'Lashon HaKodesh. We mentioned that because the Parsha of Soita is one of the Elu that are Nemarim B'chol Lashon. We went through a list of Elu Nemarim B'chol Lashon, the Gemara discussed them. Then we went through a list of Elu Nemarim B'Lashon HaKodesh, the Mishnah, and then the Gemara discussed them. One of the things that had to be said B'Lashon HaKodesh is the parish of Egla Rufa. And as a result, Perek Egla Rufa finds itself tucked away at the very end of Masechta Soita. The Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph said, Mishirabu HaRoitzchanim Batla Egla Rufa. That once there was a ribuy of Roitzchim, they abolished the whole institution of the Egla Rufa. Why would we mention this halacha? Well, it seems like something that very much belongs in a parak called Egla Rufa. But then the Tana, the Mishnah, did what it's been doing throughout the Masechta, and that is it digressed. Meaning, we mentioned that when there were so many Roitzchim, there was no more Egla Rufa. So it's kedai to know that when there was a ribuy of Znus, Pasku, Hamayim, Hamorim. And then we went into other things that once upon a time were a very important part of the fabric of the Jewish nation yet ceased to exist. The end of the Masechta, the last two dafin, are going to continue on that note. So this was a little bit of a convoluted paper trail, but that's where we find ourselves now. This is a digression, ben benoishal digression, talking about things that, again, once upon a time were integral parts of Jewish culture and Jewish law, yet at some point in history, they cease to exist. Zok de Mishnah, Mishabatl Sanhedrin. From the time that the Sanhedrin became batl, simply because of the exiles and the galus that the Yidden had to go through, batl hashir mi beis hamushtois. It was no longer okay for people to play music at a beis hamishtah. Shenemar, and the Makarta, this is a pasuk in Yeshaya, that says, bashir lo yishtu yoyim. More about that in the Gemara. When the Neviim HaRishonim died, now who were the Neviim HaRishonim? We'll see more about that in the Gemara as well. But there was no longer an Urim V'Tumim. So the Urim V'Tumim, which is something that every little child learns about, is something that the Yidden had, but only up until a certain period of time. During Bayesheni, for example, there was no Urim V'Tumim. So the question is, when did the Urim V'Tumim cease to exist? The Mishnah says it's from the time that the Neviim HaRishonim passed away. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Batal HaShamir, the Neufes Tzufin, the Shamir and the Neufes Tzufin both ceased to exist. So what was the Shamir? That's something that's discussed in great detail in Perek Misha Achsu, Masechtas Gittin, that's coming up in the not-too-distant future. This was a worm that Bederech Nes aided Shlomo HaMelech to build the Beis HaMikdash. We'll see more about this in the Gemara as well. Neufes Sufen, that too the Gemara is going to explain. Upasko Anche Amana Yisrael. Additionally, once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there were no longer Anche Amana in Klal Yisrael. So Anche Amana, loosely translated, are Erlich Yidin. But if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, the last Rashi in the Mishnah, these were people that are Boitchem Bakodesh Baruch Hu. They have perfect bitachin in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'soymchin olav lasis toiv, and they trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do for them only good, v'ein doyag in l'chassar, and they're never worried that they're going to lose anything. A lot more about that in the Gemara as well. And what's the makar? That once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there were no more anche amana shenemar. It's based on a pasuk, and this is in Tehillim. The pasuk says, Hoshia Hashem ki gomar chassid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save us and help us, because there's no more chassid, ki fasu emunim ibnei adam, because the emunim, these anche amana, are people that we no longer have. So you see, there was a time that we had the emunim, yet at some point we didn't. What was the cutoff point? Mishachar Beis HaMikdash. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer. Rav Shimon Gamliel said, hey, Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Shua said, hey, this Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, ein yoyim she'en bo klalot. There's no day that has no klalot. So Rabbi Shua was one of the Chachmei Yavna. He was one of the Tanoim that had witnessed Churban Beis HaMikdash. He saw the world before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and he saw the world after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And he said, Eidos, that Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, I see it, the world is different. Ein yoyim yom she'im by klal. There's no day that doesn't have any klal. Additionally, v'layar da tal bracha. Tal, do, which is something that usually brings bracha, but there's tal, but no bracha. V'nitol tam ha'peres. Additionally, the taste of the peres has been taken away. Rabbi Yeshua said, I remember what peres tasted like when there was a Beis HaMikdash. It's not the same as it relates to the way peres tastes now. Rabbi Yossi added to that, af nitel shuman ha-peres. Even the shuman, the zaftigness of the peres, even that was taken away. Rabbi Shimon Elazar said on this note, ha-tahayra nitla es hareach. Tahayra, once Yidden stopped observing the laws of Tumah v'Tahayra, that's when the smell of peres went away. Ha-maisres, when Yidden started becoming lax in giving maisres, notlu eshuman ha-dogon, the, again, fat, and the richness of grain was something that they lost. The Chachamim said, "Haznus v'hakshafim." Once the Eden got engaged in Znus and Kishuv Kiluas Akoil, that's when all the good things ceased to exist. Either way, this is a Mishnah that said a lot of things, all of which have nothing to do with Masechta Soita. We already discussed the paper trail and the Akdama to the Mishnah of the Gemara. Now, in today's daf and into tomorrow's daf is going to be a pirish. It's a commentary on this Mishnah. Zok de Gemara. The Mishnah began, it said, Mishabatel Sanhedrin, when the Sanhedrin was batel hashir mi beis hamishtois. At that point, it was no longer permissible for there to be music playing at a beis hamishtois. Shenemar, it's because the pasuk says, Beshir lo yishtu yayin. That you can't drink wine and play music at the same time. Now, I think it's important just to mention as a hakdama to the Gemara that we're about to learn, what exactly is a Beis HaMishta? So loosely translated, a Beis HaMishta sounds like a party. But the truth is that once upon a time, all parties could be divided into two groups. There was what was known as a Suda, and there was what was known as a Mishta. To us, they're synonymous with each other. But really, they were not the same thing. A Suda was a meal that was food-based. A mishta was a meal that was mashka based. And a Beis HaMishta was something very, very unique. And it was dafka in the Beis HaMishta that this takana was made, bashir lo yishtu yayin. Either way, says the Gemara. So the Mishnah said that once the Sanhedrin was batel, at that point there was a halacha that said, you're no longer allowed to have any music at a Beis HaMishta. And what's the makar? It says, Bashir la yishtu yayin. Faith the Gemara, the obvious question, we might bashbat the Sanhedrin, said, how do you know that this pasuk has anything to do with the Sanhedrin being batel? Meaning, you have a makar, Bashir la yishtu yayin. Seder. There is a source now that there's some isser. But, well, who said anything about when the Sanhedrin was batel? Omer Rav Huna, Bereid Rav Yeshua, Rav Huna, Bereid Rav Yeshua said, the Amakra, it's based on another pasuk. And this is a pasuk in Eicha that says, Zikeinim mishar shavasu, bachurim minaginasam. Meaning that when the Zikeinim, referring to the Ziknei Ha'eda, referring to the Sanhedrin, when they were no longer in the Shar, when the Skenim were Mishar Shavasu, it was then that there was a takana that was made that Bachurim Minaginasam, that the Bachurim will no longer be able to sing. Thus you see that this Isser of Bashir Lo Yishtu Yoyin has something to do with Zikenim Mishar Shavasu, and that's the Makar to that Mishabotl Sanhedrin. It's from when the Sanhedrin was batel, that batel Hashir mi beis hamishtois. Incidentally, the Marsha speaks out a very obvious question, and that is that if the real makar to the halacha of the Mishnah is Zekeinim Mishar Shavasu Bachurim Minaginasam, so why did the Mishnah not bring that pasuk? The Mishnah brought a pasuk that says Bashir lo yishtu yayin. Fake the Gemara, Bashir lo yishtu yayin, you don't see anything. So, you're right, it's not Bashir lo yishtu yayin, it's a different pasuk, it's a pasuk in Eicha. Okay, so if the makar is really the pasuk in Eicha, then bring the pasuk in Eicha. So, the Marsha, v'yesh loymar, that in the pasuk of you don't see an Isser. What you see is maybe a Metzius. Maybe that's a historical fact. But at the same time, that it should be Osir, that you don't see. That you see in the Pasuk in Yeshaya. Bashir lo yishtu yayin. So, Bashir lo yishtu yayin is makar that is some sort of Isser. The fact that the Isser has to do with Mishabat l'Sanhedrin, that's Taka learned out from another Pasuk. The Mishnah only brought the Pasuk that states the Isser, but Enochinami, it's really made up of two Pasukim. The Pasuk in Yeshaya that says Bashir lo yishtu yayin, and then the Pasuk in Eicha that says Kena Mishar Shavasnu Bachur Miniginasam. Amar Rav. Rav said, Udna Deshama Zimra, a ear that hears music teyaker. Such an ear should be wiped off the face of the earth. Amar Rava. Rava said, Zimra Bebesa, if there's music in a house, Churva Besifa, that house will be Charev, and the Churban is going to start Besifa from the entrance of the house. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Kol Yishar Bechaloin, if there's going to be music that's playing that you'll be able to hear through the windows, such a house, Chirev Basaf, that pasuk, that house is going to have churban basaf, meaning at the entranceway. And then the pasuk concludes and says, ki arzo era. My ki arzo era, what do those words mean? Rabbi Yitzchak said like this, that at first glance, and this is the way the Marshal explains this Gemara, you would think that maybe the word era is from the Lashon of ear. And what the pasuk is saying is that a house that's made of arza, eras, and cedar, maybe a house like that is like a fortified city. But Rabbi Yitzchak said, if that's what the pasuk means, it's just not true. Bayis ha-mesubach ba'arazim iru, is that even a true statement? Ella, what the pasuk means is, eru miloshin oru oru ada yesoipa. It's miloshin, a house like that is going to be destroyed. And what the pasuk is saying is, afilu bayis ha-mesubach ba'arazim, even if you have a house that's really made of eras, misroya, it's oru oru, it's a house that's going to be destroyed. In other words, the pasuk is saying, kol yishar b'chaloyin, if there's going to be music coming out of the windows, chayr basof, you should know this house is going to be destroyed. And the churban is going to come from the entranceway of the house. Ki arzo eru, and even if the house is made of eras, even then eru, you should know what's going to be aru aru ada yisoyipa. Am Ravashi said, Shmami, no, you see from this drush in the pasuk, he maschel churba besifa maschel, that when there's churban in a house, where does the churban start from? It starts from the threshold of the house, the entranceway of the house. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, churib basaf, iba yaseimo. Some said, a different makar, how do you know that if there's going to be churban in a house, the churban is going to start from the entranceway of the house? Shenemar, the pasuk says, usheiyo yukas Shar. This is also a pasuk in Yeshaya, and the pasuk is talking about a she'ia, is a house that's empty, a house that has nothing in it. Yukas is going to be destroyed, shar, and the destruction is going to come from the shar. Now, the reason an empty house would be destroyed is from Shadim. So Shadim get a hold of a house like this and they destroy it. But where does the churban come from? That's why we're bringing this. It's Yukas Shar. It comes from the Shar. Amma Mabravashi. Mabravashi said, I saw the shade that attacks houses that are left empty, the haunted house, quote unquote, umenagach kitura, and it looked like a shar. In fact, the way it caused damage is, imamish toist. It's a sugyim bavakama. It's a shar shenagach. But the point is that you see, whenever this churban in a bias, the churban of the bias comes from the saf. It comes from the entranceway of the house. And whether the churban that in the bias is coming because there's a zimra, because there's a kol yishar b'chaloyim, whether the churban is coming because of this shindalit, but either way, atzad hashava is something that's going to happen from the entranceway of the house. Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna said, zimra denagdi u'debakri shari. The music that the nagdi and the bakri used to play, that's something that's mutter. So what are the nagdi and the bakri? So Rashi said, the nagdi, these were people that they used to schlep ships and they would schlep it with ropes. So they used to play music and they had people serenading them while they did this. So that music is something that's mutter. And the reason Rashi says this, because they're not listening to music for their pleasure. The reason they're listening to this music is to be mazars them, to allow them to do their malach a little bit better. As a result, it's going to be okay. With the bakri, these are people that are chayresh together with animals in the field. And they too, they were mazamrin. There was music involved. And that's also something that's okay, because again, they're not doing it for pleasure. They're doing it to allow them to do their work. The gardoi, however, the music that the weavers used to play, aser, that's already something that's going to be aser. Rashi says, because eniel l'shoik, because that music is just literally for their tainug, and as a result, that's not something that's going to be okay. Rav Huna batel zamra. Rav Huna once made a takana. He said, no more music. And when he did that, kam meya avzi bezuza. What happened was, the economy started knocking. In fact, people were able to buy 100 avazim, 100 geese, with one zuz, umeya sachit bezuza, or 100 sav chitin, that's a lot of chitin, with one zuz, below you buy. And not just that, it was so cheap that people weren't even buying because they had so much of it. Asa Rav Chizda, but then Rav Chizda came Zilzalbay, and he was mezalzal in music. And he said, it's fine, don't worry about it. It's not such a big deal. Now, what does it mean he was mezalzal? Rashi says, he didn't say it's mutter, but at the same time, he wasn't moicha. And as soon as he did that, the economy went alapanim. It went just the opposite. What happened was, is one avaz was already selling for a zuz, and you couldn't even find that one avaz. More on this note. Amar Rav Yosef said, Zamri Gavri Va'oni Nashi Pritzusa. If you have a situation, there's a choir where men and women are singing together. So if the setup is that the men sing and the women, they just answer. So the men are the maschilin And then the women are the nuchzingers. That's not okay. It's a maisa pritzos. But zamri, noshni, v'ani gavri, if it's going to be in the reverse, the women are the ones that are singing, and then the men are the ones that follow what the women are saying, that's not just a pritzos, but that's ke'esh ben oiris. That's flammable. That's literally like taking flax and putting it into a fire. That's something that's going to completely blow up. That's much, much worse. L'may nafkamina, says the Gemara, why does it even matter? Meaning, does it make a difference which way it is? So the Gemara says, the betuleha mekameha. The nafkamina would be is, let's say you could be mevatel one of these two things. Either you could be mevatel, the men singing and the women answering, or you could be mevatel, the women singing and the men answering. Which one should you be mevatel? If Chazal feel like they have a takana, we could be mevatel one of these two things. Which one of these two things should we be mevatel? The answer is, be mevatel, the women singing and the men answering. Now, why is that worse? So Rashi says, because if the men are going to follow the women, they're going to have to go really, really close to the woman to hear every word that she's singing, to know exactly how to sing it. That's not just pritzos. That can bring to much worse things. And as a result, that's literally ke'esh ben oiris. More on this note. Somebody drinks wine with four different types of instruments. He brings five different peronius to the world. Because the pasuk says, hoy, mashkime baboy. So this is a long two psukim. It's in Yeshaya Perakeh. And the Gemara is going to darshan it. Sheikha Yerdoifu. There are people that wake up early in the morning. They're mashkime baboiker. But the reason they wake up is anu rotzen v'heim rotzen. What are they running after? Sheikha Yerdoifu. They're running after wine. Ma'achre ba'neshef. They stay up late at night. Why? Because yayin yadlikim. Also brentzei abyssal yayin. V'yakinor v'nevel toif v'cholo. And their base mishta has wine, but also has four different instruments. It has the kinur, the nevel, the toif, and the chalol. That's poil Hashem le'yabitu. And because they're engaged in all these things, they don't think about Hashem. And they don't see the deeds of Hashem. So the Novi Yeshaya says, you know what's going to happen? L'chein gola ami mebli da'as u'kvoide miseiro v'hamoine tzichei tzama. V'yishach adam v'yish balish v'enei gvoyim tishpalno. And the Gemara now is going to dash on what exactly these psukim mean. So the first half of this, these psukim is pretty straightforward. You have someone or people that they like wine. Mashkime baboiker, sheikha yudoifu. Ma'achre baneshev, yayin yadlike. And they're also involved in music. Vayakinar, v'nevel, toif, v'cholol. So they're combining these two things. And then the pasuk goes on to talk about all the terrible things that are going to happen. And the Gemara says that if you add up those terrible things, there's really five things. Maksev achra, what are the five? L'chein gola ami bibli das. Number one, shegarman galus loilam. They're going to bring galus to the world. Uchfoidei misei rav, shemivin rav loilam. They're going to bring a hunger to the world. V'hamoinoi, they're going to cause Torah to be forgotten from those that learn Torah. They're going to cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachol, Shiflus. V'nishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you know that Ish is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Shenema, the pasuk says, Hashem Ish Mulchama. And finally, V'enei Gvoyim Tishpalno, Shegormen Shiflus Shal Yisrael. They're going to cause Shiflus. They're going to cause a Yerida to Klal Yisrael as well. Based on the fact that it says ve'inei gvoyim, that's the yidden tishpalma, they too are going to have a yerida. So this person that's drinking wine and at the same time he's involved in arba minei zemer, what's going to happen to him? Lochein gola ami beblidas golos ukvoyda misei rav. There's going to be hunger. Vamoni tzichet sama. There's going to be shikras atayra. And then the pasuk says vayishbal ish. Kaviyachol Hashem, who's an ish mulchama, all of a sudden vayishbal ish. And then finally ve'inei gvoyim tishpalma. To Klal Yisrael, shegarmen shiflus shal Yisrael, says the Gemara Maksev Acharav, that if you look at the next pasuk, the pasuk actually continues and says lochein herchiva shal nafsha ufar afil of lichayik v'yaret hadara v'hamoyna u'shna'oyna v'olez ba. And that pasuk means Gehenim, Zok Rashi, and what the pasuk and what the Navi is saying is that not only are they going to cause these five Piranias, but eventually they're going to be Yared LeGehenim. The way the Marshal explains the Gemara is that the drinking and the Nigin is going to cause these Piranias. Once they're going to do these Averis and they're going to bring all this Piranias into the world, that in and of itself is going to cause them to go to Gehenim. So the Gehenim is not considered the sixth of the Piranias. Because if you're holding cheshbon in the Gemara said that someone that engages in yayin and engages in these arba minei zemer, that what's going to happen to him? What's going to happen to him is he's going to be going to these five things, and then at the end of the five things we mentioned, and also he's going to go to Gehenim. Okay, go to Gehenim is the sixth thing. So why are we saying five things plus Gehenim? So pashtun and cheshbon of the Gemara, these four things. things will cause five peronius, and the fact that they caused the peronius, it's like a grumma, that's ultimately what's going to cause the Gehenna. Either way, this concludes the first part of this Gemara, which sort of sounds like it's not okay to drink wine and to listen to music together. But the truth is that the Minhag Yisrael is obviously to be very makel in this inyan, and this is something that we're not going to talk about right now. That's Hashem, at the beginning of Masechtas Gittin, in fact, Gittin Dav Zayin, this inyan is going to come up very much there again. There's a famous shuv from Moshe, and this is Ray that we've touched upon years ago, and that we will revisit Be'ezus Hashem. But either way, the first thing that the Mishnah said was, Mishabotla Sanhedrin, when the Sanhedrin became Batal, Batal Hashir mi Beis HaMishtois. It was no longer mutter for a person to be in a Beis HaMishtah, which we said as a very, very specific and defined translation. And there it was also for there to be music. It's based on a pasuk that says, Bashir lo yishtu yayin. The Mishnah continued, and the Mishnah said, Mishnah esu Nevi'im HaRishonim, when the Nevi'im HaRishonim died, batal Urim V'tumim. At that point, there was no longer Urim V'tumim. Zok to Gemara, man Nevi'im HaRishonim. Who were these Nevi'im HaRishonim? So it sounds like this is a turning point in history. One of the most important parts of Jewish history was the Urim V'tumim, and it became batal when the Nevi'im HaRishonim died. So the question is, who are these Nevi'im HaRishonim that from the time that they left this world, there was no longer Urim V'tumim? Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna said that David, Vishmuel, Vishloim. It's referring to David HaMelech, who was also a Navi, and Shmuel HaNavi, and Shloim HaMelech, who was also a Navi. Says the Gemara, Rav Nachman said that be made David in the times of David, Zimnin Salik, Vizimnin Loy Salik. Meaning, the times of David HaMelech already, the Urim V'Tumim didn't work 100%. There were times that it worked, and there were times that it didn't work. How do you know that? Sharei Shal Tzadik V'Alsaloy. Tzadik once asked a question of the Urim V'Tumim, and it worked. Shal of Yasser, and then of Yasser asked the question of the Urim V'Tumim, V'Loy Alsaloy, and it didn't work. And this is based on a pasuk Shem, it says, Vayal of Yasser, and Rashi brings the whole Arichos. What does it mean, Vayal of Yasser? He was removed from the Kuna Gedoyla, and the reason he was removed from the Kuna Gedoyla, because it was established that he was not capable of getting the Urim V'Tumim to answer his questions. But the bottom line is from the times of David, Shmuel, and Shlomo, after they all passed away, Shlomo HaMelech was the last of the three, then there was no longer any Urim V'Tumim. And even during the times of David HaMelech, sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't work. Freit Gemara Kasha, Masiv Rabbi Bar Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel asks, the Pasuk says in Divrei Hayom, Vayihi Lidroi Shalikim, B'mei Zechariyo, Hamevin Beroiso Alekim, Ubimei Darshe Es Hashem Hitzlicho Alekim. So this is in the times of Zechariah. Zechariah is one of the last Nevi'im. He lives circa the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. And in his times, the Pasuk already says, Vayihi L'Drosh Elokim B'mei Zechariah. What does it sound like? It sounds like my Lab Urim V'Tumim. That, what are they being Dairish, right? How did you farsh the Eibishto once upon a time? It was Urim V'Tumim. So it sounds like in Zechariah's time, there's already Urim V'Tumim. How does it stem with what we just said? That Meshameisen, Nevi'im HaRishonim, Shmuel, David and Shloimeh, there was already no Urim V'Tumim. You see, in the times of Zechariah, hundreds of years later, they still had the Urim V'Tumim. The Gemara says, lie. That's not what the Pasuk means. The Pasuk doesn't say the word Urim V'Tumim. You assume that it meant Urim V'Tumim. Really, what it means is B'Nevi'im. It means from the times of Zechariah, Vayihid L'Droish, Elokim B'mei Zechariah. The truth is, after Zechariah's time, there was no longer Nevi'im. Chagi, Zechariah, Malachi, these were Nevi'im Al-Khreinim. So during the lifetime of Zechariah, then they still had Nevi'im. But Urim V'Tumim, this is something that had been bottled a lot earlier. Tashma, another raya to this discussion of who exactly are the Nevi'im HaRishonim that the Mishnah is referring to when it says, Mishamesu Nevi'im HaRishonim, at that point, it was bottled Urim V'Tumim. From a Brais, Mishkar Beis HaMikdash Rishonim, when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Batlu Arei Migrash. The Arei Migrash became Batal. So these were the Arei HaLevi'im. The Torah says that there were 42 cities plus the 6 Arei Miklat that had to be given to the Levi'im, and they're referred to as Arei Migrash. We had this in a Mishnah earlier in Masechta Saita, because in addition to giving them cities, you also had to give them landscaping. Machlok is how much room they had. Rabbi Kiva learns the halacha of Tchum Shabbos from the sugya of Arei Levi'im. But the point is that the Arei Migrash, these Arei HaLevi'im ceased to exist. This was no longer an inyan once the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Upasak Urim V'Tumim. And there was no Urim V'Tumim once the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Upasak Melech Mi Beis David. And Malchus Beis David. Literally, Ad Ki Yavai Shiloi. This was something that ceased to exist from the time that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It says the Brais v'mach sh'chadom lemers, you can ask a kasha, that how could you tell me that there was no Urim v'tumim once the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? Isn't there a pasuk that says, and this pasuk is in Ezra, it says, v'yomer har tirshasa. So the Tirshasa is Nehemiah. Nehemiah says, "Hashlo yoichlo mikodesh hakadoshim." He tells the kohanim, "Don't eat kodesh hakadoshim." Ada moit koyin l'urim l'tum. Until the koyin's going to come with the urim v'tum. So what does it sound like? It sounds like there's going to be urim v'tumim again. Nehemiah lived in between the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash. He, together with Ezra, with the leaders of the Jews, in the beginning of Bayis Sheni. And he's saying, don't eat Kodesh HaKadoshim yet. Just wait a little bit. How long should you wait? Wait until there's going to be a Kohen Gadol with the Urim V'Tumim. It sounds like there was Urim V'Tumim by Bayis Sheni. We just said, Mishachar, Bayis Rishon, there was no more Urim V'Tumim. What do you mean? You see there was Urim V'Tumim and Moiloi. So says the Brayse, if someone's going to ask you this, Kasha, this is what you should tell them. That what Nehemiah meant to say was, Ka'adim Sha'im L'Chaver. It's like a person tells his friend, I'll do it for you. But at Sheyichu Mason v'Yavim Mashiach ben David, when there's going to be Tchias Mason and Mashiach is going to come, that's when I'm going to. That's exactly what Nehemiah was saying. He was saying no one's going to eat Kodesh HaKadosh until there'll be Urim V'Tumim. When? Not now. Not this space. I mean, that's not what he was referring to. He was referring to when Mashiach's going to come. He was referring to B'mher B'yameinu. That's what he was referring to. But Enochanami, once the first space HaMikdash was destroyed, at that point, there were no more Urim V'Tumim. So what's the Kasha? The Kasha is the Mishnah said Mishnah Mason V'yam HaRishayinim. At that point, there was no Urim V'Tumim. Man V'yam HaRishayinim Am Rav Huna. Rav Huna said it's David HaMelech, it's Shlomo HaMelech, it's Shmuel HaNavi. That once those early Nevi'im, they were literally Nevi'im HaRishayinim. These are from the earlier Nevi'im. That once they passed away, there was no more Urim V'Tumim. I have a mefurish of Raisa that says Mishachara Beis HaMikdash Rishon Batlu Urim V'Tumim. It was from the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, a few hundred years later. So the Churban, we have a stira in terms of when exactly the Urim V'Tumim became Batlu. El Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So because of this kasher, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said, I think you have to learn the Mishnah differently. Not like Rav. Ma Nevi'im HaRishonim. What did the Mishnah mean when it says that when the Nevi'im HaRishonim died, at that point there was no longer the Urim V'Tumim? It's Lafuke Michag Yischayim Alachi Da Achroinim Ninu. All Nevi'im, other than Chag Yischariah Malachi, are referred to as the Nevi'im Rishonim. And the reason is because Chag Yischariah Malachi are the Nevi'im Achroinim. They're the last three Nevi'im, historical fact. So that all other Nevi'im that are not the last Nevi'im, in this Mishnah are referred to as the Nevi'im Rishonim. And essentially, what the Mishnah is saying is, really, if you know the history, exactly what the Braisa is saying. And that is, that right at the beginning of Bayis Sheni, when the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt, and there was a Kohen Gadol again, and there was Beis HaMikdash again, and they were bringing Karbanos again, and the Yidden were bringing Oile Regel again, and they were bringing a Karban Pesach again. At that point, there were some shinuyim between that situation and what the world and the Beis HaMikdash had looked like during the first Beis HaMikdash. One of those shinuyim was the fact that there was no Urim V'Tumim. So that our Mishnah refers to that Zman as Mishaveisu Nevi'im HaRishonim, all the Nevi'im up until Ad v'loy ad b'chal, Chag Yischar Malachi, dead in a vim in the beginning of Bayis Sheni, the Braisa says, Mishachar, Beis HaMikdash Rishon. But really what they're saying is the same exactly. Now how do you know that Chag Yischar Malachi with the Nevi'im Achroinim, the Tanu Rabbanon, this is based on a Braisa. Tanu Rabbanon, Mishamesu Chag Yischar Malachi, when Chag Yischar Malachi passed away, Nestalku Ruach HaKodesh Mishra. At that point, there was no longer Ruach HaKodesh in Klal Yisrael. So when did Ruach HaKodesh cease to exist in Yisrael? It was at the Ptira of Chag Yischar Malachi. What does that mean? It means that Chag Yischar Malachi are the Nevi'im Achroinim, obviously. If after they passed away, there's no longer Ruach HaKodesh, so Bechlam Messiah Manu, there's no longer Nevuah, and if there's no longer Nevuah, that would make them into the Nevi'im Achroinim, and that's what we're saying. All other Nevi'im, besides for this last generation, this last Chabura of Nevi'im, are referred to as the Nevi'im Arishon. But the Braisa continues, and says, V'afal Pikin, even though once Chag Yischar Malachi passed away, there was no longer Ruach HaKodesh, but still, Hoyu Meshtamshim Bebaskol. The Yidden used to be Meshtamesh Bebaskol. There was a concept of a Baskol, which is a form of Nevuah, and that was something that the Yidden used to use. In fact, Pamachas, once upon a time, Hoyu Mesubim Ba'aliyas Beis Kuri, the Yidden were sitting together, these were the Chachamim, the elder statesmen, they were in the attic of a fellow named Gurio. B'Yerichoy, this was in Yerichoy. Nosna Leim, Baskol Menashemayim. All of a sudden they heard a Baskol. V'Omra, and the Baskol said as follows, Yesh Bechem Adam Echad, there's one person here amongst you, Sheroy Shetishra Shechina Olav, that really is worthy of the Shechina being Shoyra on him. Elo She'ein Doirei Roy L'kach. But it's not going to happen. And the reason it's not going to happen is because the Dar, the generation, is not worthy of it. And in order for there to be a Navi, you would need that the Yidden should be on a level and a Madrega for them to have a Azar Rebbe and Azar Manik, that's a Navi. And being that the Torah is not royal Lekach, so it's for that reason there's going to be no Nevuah. So they heard this Baskel, everybody did, but they didn't know who the Baskel was being said about. So all of a sudden, everybody started staring at the same person, Tzaddik, that was in the room, and Nosnoy name Hillel HaZaken. They all looked at Hillel HaZaken. They understood. It's obviously Hillel. So Hillel is the Gadol of that Olam, and all of a sudden they hear a Baskel. There's one person sitting in this room right now that Be'etzim is Roy Shetisha Olav Shechina Elo She'en Doi Roy Lekach, and they understood that this person must be Hillel Shemez. When Hillel HaZaken passed away, Hispidu, so they were Maspid Hillel, and this was the Hespid that they gave Hillel. They said, Hai Chosid, Hai Onov, Talmidoi Shal Ezra. Hillel, they referred to him as a chassid, they referred to him as an anav, and they referred to him as Talmidei Shal Ezra. Shulpam Acheres, it was another time. They were sitting in an attic where the Chachamim, this time they were sitting in Yavna. And Noslem, Baskel, and Hashemayim, they heard a Baskel. The Baskel said, Yesh Mechem Adam Echad, there's a person here, Sheroi Shetishra Shechina Olav. Again, who's worthy of Ashroi Sashchina. Elo Shein Doir Zakon Lekach. But the generation is not worthy, and as a result, it's not going to happen. And Nosnu Einayim B'Shmul HaKotan. And everybody started staring at the same person. At this time, it was Shmuel HaKotan. When Shmuel HaKotan passed away, his spidu, they were maspid him, and they said, Hai Onav, Hai Chosid, Talmidoi Shnel Hillel. V'afu Omer B'shas Misasoi. Just a glimpse of the Nevuah that could have been as it relates to Shmuel HaKotan. Because although he wasn't someone that ever became a Navi, because the Dor wasn't worthy of it, but at the same time, at his deathbed, he said things. And these were prophetic things. He said the following. He said, Shimon v'Yishmael l'charava. Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rav Yishmael Kohen Gadol, they're going to be killed by the sword. V'chavroi l'ktala. And the rest of his chavirim are going to be killed, but it's not going to be by the sword. This was prophetic because Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rav Yishmael Kohen Gadol were two of the Asur Rugei Malchus, and they were killed by the sword. His chavirim, B'roshim Rabbi Akiva, were killed, but the Misrukei, Shal Barzel, in different ways. Vishnar Am Labiza. He said the rest of the nation, Labiza, they're going to be taken advantage of by the nations. The Akan Sagidin Asin Lamesi Alama. Terrible tragedies are gonna befall the Jewish people. And this, again, was on some level prophetic. And this is because Shmuel HaKotan was the one that the Baskel was referring to when it said that there's one person here that's Roy Shetisha Olav Shechina Elo, what are you going to do? Shein Doir Roy Lekach. Afro, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Bikshu Leimer, Hai Chosid, Hai Yonav. When Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava passed away, the Yidden wanted to be Maspidim, they wanted to give the same Hespid. They wanted to say, Hai Chosid, Hai Yonav. Elo Shein Nitra Fashah. They couldn't do it. Shein Maspidan Al Haruge Malchus. Because Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava didn't die a natural death. He was killed by the Romans, and because he was killed by the Romans, they felt that they didn't want to give him a Graysa Hespit, because here the Romans killed somebody, and now the Yidden are going to flack the streets, and they're going to give him a very Bakova de Galavaya. It's not going to look good to the Romans. I mean, here we killed this person, and now all of a sudden you're mourning him like this, and they felt that it was something that it was pasha, too dangerous to do it. Me'imas HaMelech, Rashi says. And therefore, they didn't give him the Hespit. But really, had they been Maspid, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, you want to know what the Hespit would have been? It would have been Hai Chosid, Hai Onov, that's the Nusach that the Hespid would have been, the same Hespid that was given to Hillel HaZaken, and the same Hespid that was given to Shmuel HaKotan. The Marsha, this Marsha is not here, but the Marsha is a Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Aleph. He says, what's Pshat in this Hespid? Hai Chosid, Hai Onov. They even wanted to say it about Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Elisha Nitrifa HaShah. It was one of the Asar Rugei Malchus, and they thought it was just not wise for them to go out and publicly be masped him. So the Marsha says that the Gemara says in Masechtas Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf. We know this Gemara because it's a very, very famous sefer that's predicated on this Gemara. It's Rav Pinchas Ben Yair's Braisa. It's actually interesting because there's a Yesh Oimrim, if you turn one page, in the end of Daf Mem Tes on the days, some hold that this is the last Gemara in Masechtas Saita. Pashtus, it's not, but there are Nuschois that have that Masechtas Saita ends with Rav Pinchas Ben Yair's Braisa. And Rav Pinchas Ben Yair in his Braisa, he talks about all the Madregas and Avodah Hashem. Zahirus, Mevili, Dezrizos. Zrizos brings to Nikias. Nikias brings to Tyra. Tyra brings to Prishos. Prishos brings to Kedusha. Kedusha brings to Anova. Anova brings to Yerushchet. Yerushchet brings to Chsidus. And if someone is a Chosid, it leads to Ruach HaKodesh, which leads to Tchias HaMeisen. But what's the highest level in Rav Pinchas Ben Yair's Madregas? It's Chasidus. The Gemara Masechtas Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf brings another man, Rabbi Shua Ben Levi. He says, no, I disagree. I don't think the highest level is Chasidus. I hold the highest level is Anav. Abazok de Marsha. So you have 2 days in the Gemara what the highest level in Avodah Hashem is. Either it's to become a Chasid or it's to become an Anav. What does a person achieve once he reaches the highest level in Avodah Hashem? It brings Lidei Ruach HaKodesh. Whether it's Chasidus that brings Lidei Ruach HaKodesh or whether it's Anav that brings Lidei Ruach HaKodesh. But the point is that if a person climbs the mountain, what's he going to find? He's going to find Ruach HaKodesh, Zoktim Rasha, that these tzaddikim were ones that the Paschal said, that Roy Shetish Olav Shechina. So if they're Roy Shetish Olav Shechina, what does that mean? That means they reached the Shvetz. What's the Shvetz? It means either Chassid or Anav. Zoktim Rasha, that was the Hesped. Hai Anav, Hai Chassid. Because if they're Roy Shetish Olav Shechina, if they're Roy to Ruach HaKodesh, that means they're on the Madrega of either Anava or Chassidus, and therefore they Poshnit covered their bases, and they said, Hai Anav, he's obviously an Anav, Hai Chassid, right? For sure, both. The question is, what's the last one? But the point is, Hai Anav and Hai Chassid, and that's why this was the Hesped that was given. It's interesting, but the Chassam Sofer, in one of his drushness, so he's learning up a Pasuk in Nach, and Toich Dvarav, when he learns up that Pasuk, so the Chassam Sofer says that you find that the Gemara says about these Tanoim, this Lashon of Hai Chassid, Hai Anav, says the Chassam Sofer, Pirish, ki Adam Echad Bedar, this one person in every generation, Yufchar Mikol HaChayim, who's chosen from every person in the world, Lioi Shechinas Uzoi Shoyri B'toich Oisehech. Every generation has one person that Zoicha, that Teshchina should be Shoyri in his Hechel. V'hu Kim Moshe Haya Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom B'dayra. And this person becomes what Moshe Rabbeinu was in his generation. And he's even on a higher level than the Malachi Asharis. But there's no person in the world that can get there by himself. He needs help from the Olam. So the Chassam Sofer, and it almost feels like with Ruach HaKodesh, said that this Gemara, that the Gemara says, they said about Hillel HaZaken, and they said it about Shmuel HaKatan, and they would have said it about Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava as well. Hai Chassid, Hai Anav. Really, every single Dar has one person like that. Every single generation has a tzaddik on this level. He's the quote-unquote Moshe Rabbeinu of the Dar. Roy Shetish Olav Shechina. And sometimes the Dar is Zaycha, but usually the Dar is not Zaycha, and as a result, it doesn't play itself out. But the Chassam Sofer is Pirish on this Gemara right here. Right, the Mishkar Beis HaMikdash, Batal Hashem. So going back to the Mishnah said that once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we lost the Shamir, and we lost the Neufis Tzufin, Tanu Rabban, Shamir. Shaboy Banu Shloim Bas Beis HaMikdash. What was the Shamir? It was a worm that was used by Shloim HaMelech to build the Beis HaMikdash. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, and this is a Pasuk in Melachim Aleph, it says, V'habayis behi banoisoi even shleima maso nivna, u'makovois v'agarz and kol klibarz ole nishma, v'habayis behi banoisoi. In short, what the Pasuk is saying is that the bricks and mortar that were used to build the Beis HaMikdash, so they were never chiseled. There was no garzen that ever touched it. Meaning these were perfectly whole bricks. That's the way the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Now, what's the kasha? The kasha is, and how do you get these stones? Where do they come from? How do you have stones that a garzen, that a saw, a hammer, a hacker never touched, yet at the same time they're going to be built to shape and you're going to be able to use them perfectly to specification to build a structure? It must be. It was done miraculously. How was it done? It was done with the Shamir. The Shamir is not a garzen. It's not a keli that an artisan would use. And as a result, says Rabbi Yehuda, that was the purpose of the Shamir. But Rabbi Nechemya said, V'chi efshaloi markein, could you say this, Falik Farnemar, doesn't the Pasik say, called Eila Avonim Yukarois, Megarorois Pimegera? It says, Mefurish, that the Kalim were used with a Megera. A Megera is a saw of some sorts. So it's not true. You see, it wasn't made and chiseled with a Shamir. It was chiseled by some sort of Megera. So what then does the Pasik mean when it says that there was no garzin, there was no Kalim that ever touched the bricks that ever touched the stone of the Beis HaMikdash, show you maskim mibachutz or machnas mibifneim. What it means is, lo nishma bebayis behibanoise. The punchline is on the word bias, that inside the Beis HaMikdash you never heard anything, because all these stones were prepared outside the Beis HaMikdash, and then they were brought inside the Beis HaMikdash. But enochanami, avada, these stones were prepared using stones. It's a pasuk. The pasuk says they were megarorois b'megera. Zokti Gemara. Amar Rabbi. Rabbi said nirin divi Rabbi Yehuda b'avnei mikdash. I like Rabbi Yehuda's pshat as it relates to the avonim of the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, I think the avonim of the Beis HaMikdash were made and chiseled out by the Shamir. V'divi Rabbi Nechemya. Rabbi Nechemya, who was chaylik, he said it was used with a megera. It was just done outside the Beis HaMikdash b'avnei beisai. As relates to the stones of the house of Shlomo HaMelech, that's where it was done in that form. Either way. According to Rabbi Yehuda, what was the purpose of the Shamir? Shaboy banu shleim es beis hamikdash. According to Rabbi Nechemya, it's not true. The way the stones of the Beis HaMikdash were chiseled out was not with the Shamir. It was done with a Megera. So what's the kash? Rabbi Nechemya, Shamir l'mayasa. What then was the purpose of the Shamir? According to Rabbi Nechemya, so the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Nechemya, the Shamir was used for the following brice, Avonim Halalu, in Kois Venoisim Bidyoi, the stones, referring to the Avnei Choshen and the Avnei Eifei, which is a sugi that we learned about also earlier in the Sechta, which we already know what was engraved in the stones of the Choshen, the stones of the Eifei. It was the names of the Shvatim. But the way they were engraved was not with ink. Shenemar, how do I know that? Because the Pasuk says, amazingly, Petuche Choshen. And from that I know that it was engraved in a way that it wasn't just written on, but it was engraved. But at the same time, you couldn't chisel it because the pasuk says b'milu oisam, and b'milu oisam means they had to be whole. So you can't write on top of it because it says petuchei chosam. It says that they're engraved. You also can't chisel it out because it says b'milu oisam. And when you chisel something, by definition, you're going to lose part of the shlemos of it. What they would do is they would write the names of the shvatim on top of the stones in ink. Umar lehen shamir. Then the shamir would see it mibachutz. From outside, the Hinefkois Meilem. And as soon as the Shamir makes eye contact with these stones, all of a sudden they crack on their own. Just like a Te'eno will crack during the summer months, but nothing gets lost of it, meaning the Te'ema, all the volume and the content of the Te'ena is there. It just happens to be that it cracked. And like a valley, with it too is going to crack during the rainy season, although no part of its toichin, of its essence, is going to be lost. Tanu Rabbanan, more on the Shamir. Shamir Zebriyasa Kisair, it was the size of a barley grain. That's very, very small. Mishesh Mei Bereshis Nivra. It was created during Shesh Mei Bereshis. In fact, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, there were 10 things that were created Bein HaShmash Erev Shabbos. One of those 10 things was the Shamir. The Ein Kol Davar Kasha Yochel Lamed Befanav. And there was nothing that was too hard for the Shamir to be able to plow through. B'mem HaShamir Noisai. So how do you tame this creature, right? I mean, this sounds like it's pretty powerful. So how do you keep it in control? So there was an eitz. They would wrap it in wool. And they would put it in a tube that was made of lead. And it was filled with the psoilus of sa'irim. That's the way they were able to keep this thing in check. Amir Rabami, Rabami said, when the first base of Mikdash was destroyed, batla shira paranda. The shira paranda was taken away. What's the shir paranda? This was some fine silk. Uschuchas lavan. Additionally, this was some precious crystals, some precious glass. That was something that the Yidden lost as well. Tain namayachis a brayz b'shchar mikdash rishon. Once the first base of mikdash was destroyed, but the shir paranda, they lost this fine silk. Uschuchas lavana, and they lost this white glass. The rechav barzel. Additionally, these metal chariots also seized, and they stopped driving through. The Yeshayim, some say that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Af Yayin Karush Haba Misnir Hadoime Ki Igule Devela. So apparently, once upon a time, from the region of Snir, there was wine, but this wine had gel. They would bring it. It was like Igule Devela. It was like pressed figs. Apparently, this was some delicacy. And once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, part of all the great things that we lost is we lost this Yayin Karush that comes from Snir. We'll just learn one more Gemara. The Neufes Sufen, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there was no more Neufes Sufen. So we know Neufes Sufen from davening. Besukim Midvash, the Neufes Sufen. So what is Neufes Sufen? My Neufes Sufen, I'm a Rav. Rav said, Soilus, it's referring to flour, Shnetzofa Agabi Nafa, that it floats on to the sieve that is being used to sift it. The daima, it's so rich that it's comparable to isa, to adosh, and yiloish, b'tvash v'shemen, that was kneaded together with honey and together with oil. So this is flour. Flour is very, very refined. But this flour was so shamein, was so zaftig, it was so rich, that it was literally daima to a dough, which is not just flour, that was kneaded with dvash and with shemen. Either way, that's what Neufes Sufen is. Neufes Sufen is this very, very choshiva type of soilus. And the reason it's called Neufes Sufen is Neufes is Miloshen Nova. That's a sieve. And Sufen is Miloshen Shetzafa. So when you would put it through the sieve, it would mamash attach itself. It was something that was so big, it was hard for it to go through the sieve. Levi says, Shteki Koris Hanet Bokis Petaner. It's referring to two loaves of bread that if you put them inside an oven. They would attach themselves to the walls of the tanner, the toifchais, and they would bloat, ubois, and they would come, until they were touching each other. So you have a big tanner, you put two kikaris in, and the dough would rise. There was such bracha inside the isa that literally the doughs were touching each other, and they were touching the walls of the tanner. Rashi says, with some help from the marsha, that if that's the case, what exactly is noifis sufim? So the marsha says, noifis is miloshin a knife. A knife is a branch. And sufim, again, is miloshin that it's tzav. So just like the branches of a tree, they spread out all over the place. So you have these two kikaris that would be inside the oven, and all of a sudden they start spreading until they attach themselves to each other. And that's what the noifis sufim is. Rabbi Shua ben Levi Yomer, he had a third shot. He says, you want to know what noifis sufim is? Mesukim midvash v'noifes sufin. Sufin is something sweet. It's me'inyan le'inyan ba'is inyan to what dvash is. And it's dvash haba min atzipiyo. Rashi has the girsa min atzoifin. This is honey that comes from the mountains. My mashma. Who said anything about dvash from the mountains being choshev, that noifes sufin was one of the things that we lost when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed? So the Gemara says, k'de metargen Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes was once metargen. So Rav Sheshes is a very famous metargen. And Rav Sheshes was metargen the pasuk. Now the Gemara doesn't quote what the pasuk is, but the pasuk is a pasuk in Devarim Aleph. In Sefer Devarim, it says, "Vayetze ha'amoyri ha'yoshev ahar." So the Amoyri, who was living on top of the mountain, they came out the kraschem towards the Yidden, vayirdufu aschem, and they chased the Yidden. Kasher tasena hadvorim, like bees sometimes will chase a person. Vayaksu eschem b'seir ad charma. So the Amoyrim chased the Yidden like bees. Now Rav Sheshes said the targum on this pasuk. This is what he said: "Kaman denotzon dibriyasa." Dibriyasa is miloshen devora. That's a bee. The shaitan beroy me'alma. These are bees that live on top of a mountain. Umasyon dufsho mi'isvitur. And they bring this really choshev dvash from the grass that's up on the mountain. Oh, so you see from here that there's some inyan about dvash that's bami tzofin. Rabbi Shulman Levi said, that's what noifis tzofin is. One last gemara. It's not awesome. Kol hanitzoik. And this is a mishnah in the fifth parak of Masechtas Machshirim. So anything that pours from one keli to another keli, tahar. So for example, you have two kelim. One keli is tamah, the other keli is tar. And you're pouring something from keli A to keli B. The halacha is that even though the contents of the two kelim are attached to each other through the stream, the kiluach, that comes from the two kelim, but it doesn't make the contents of the other keli tamah. That's not considered a chibur. Kol hanitzoik, all kelim that are attached through a stream remain tar. The contents of the two respective kelim don't become tamah. Hagam, on some level, they're attached. With the exception of dvash zifin, the hatzapichin. With the exception of dvash zifin and sapichin. Those two things, if that would be the content of these two kelim, and now you have this stream, this kiluach, that attaches the two kelim to each other, in that instance, the stream would be tummy. My zifin. What are zifin? I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, dvash shemezaifin boy. So this was honey shemezaifin boy that was very easy for there to be fraud. So apparently the people that used to sell this vash, they were able to somehow sell it in a fraudulent way, and that's why it was called dvash zifin, miloshin ziof. The reason it was called Zifin is because it came from a place that's called Zif. And we have a pasuk that says Zif v'telem uv alus. A similar exchange. The pasuk says bevoi hazifin vayermu l'shol aloi David mistater imanu. So people come from Zifin and they give Shol this intel. They tell him that David is hiding with us. My Zifin. People came from Zifin. What does Zifin mean? Amr Rabbi Yechonon said these up nei adam hamizifin devreim. These were shakranim, and that's why they referred to as Zifin. Again, miloshin mizuyef, miloshin ziyef. Rabbi Loza said al shem mekayim. The reason they were called Zifin is because again they came from this place. Kedechsev. As the pasuk says, Zif v'telem uva alois, and we will end the daf here. So just to speak out, one ha'ara, that's dovar be'itoi matoiv, both from the standpoint of where we are right now, alad miskodesh, and also as far as the time of the year it is. And that is, everyone knows the Gemara, Masechtas Yevamos, daf samach beis on the days. The Gemara says as follows: Amru, they say, Shneim aser elef zugin talmidim hayolei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 peers of talmidim, 24,000 talmidim, migvas adan tifras, and these talmidim they populated the entire land. It was from sea to shining sea. It was from Gvas, ranging all the way to Antifras. However, Bekula Mesu Beperekech, but they all died, and they didn't just all die. They all died during the same time of year. Mipnei, and the reason they died was Shalei Nagu Kavod Zeh LaZeh. It's because they didn't treat each other with proper respect. And after these 24,000 Talmidim died, the world was empty. It was late. There was no Torah in the world. Until Rabbi Akiva came, the Rabbanim in the south. And he taught them Torah. In fact, this time Rabbi Akiva didn't have 24,000 Talmidim. He had 5 Talmidim. Who were these 5 Talmidim? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, as in Rabbi Shimon Vayichai, for Rabbi Lozner ben Shemua, 5 pretty famous Talmidim. The Heim Midu Torah. And they were the ones that were Maim the Torah, Oysa Shah, during that time. So Rabbi Kiva had 24,000 Talmidim. They all died. The reason they died was Shalei Nagu Kavod Zeh LaZeh. But Rabbi Akiva didn't give up. He wasn't Miyayish. He reboots, this time in the Darim, in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael. Previously, he was in the Galil, in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael. He taught Torah to 5 Talmidim, and through these Talmidim, Hemidu Torah. Says the Gemara, Tano Kula Mesu Mi Pesach Vadatzerach. It said that they all died, but Yisrael, what was that time that they died? It was the time between Pesach and between Shavuos. Amar Rav Chama Bar Abba, Vitem Rav Chiya Bar Abba, that not only did they all die, and not only did they all die at the same time, but Kula Mesu Misara. They all died a terrible, terrible death. A Misa Meshuna. Mayhi, what was this Misa Meshuna? Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said Askara. They all died Misas Askara. This is the Gemara Masechtas Yevamos, Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis. And this is the reason that the time between Pesach and Shavuos is a time of mourning. It says Man of Avelos. So there are 2 times on the Jewish calendar that Yidden as a nation mourn. We mourn during the Yemei Svira, and we mourn during the 3 weeks between Shavuos, Betamuz, and Tisha B'Av. The reason we mourn during the 3 weeks between Shavuos, Betamuz, and Tisha B'Av is because that was Churban Beis Hamikdash. The reason we mourn the Yemei Svira is because that's when the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died. That always bothered me. The whole concept of the Talmid Rabbi Akiva, there's something I think very enigmatic about it. On the one hand, they had to have been tremendous tzaddikim. Number one, the Talmid Rabbi Akiva. Number two, we mourn their death. So from the fact that Ad Hayom Hazeh, people don't shave during the Yemei Svira, so obviously it tells you what you need to know about the Talmid Rabbi Akiva. But then again, the Gemara says that they were loinagu kavod zeh lazeh, which sounds like it was probably something really not okay. But even more so, we know nothing about the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. I mean, we know a lot about the 5 Talmidim that Rabbi Akiva taught after the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva passed away. We know a lot about Rabbi Meir. We know a lot about Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lozman, Shemua. They're the pillars of Gantz Torah Shebaal Peh. The Kulan Alibid Rabbi Akiva, the Hayatz Rabbi Akiva, that's where the whole Torah Shebaal Peh restarted. But as it relates to the 24,000 Talmidim, we know nothing about. I don't think there's anyone that could say over one memra that they should be Zoicha to Sefsoivs of David Vais Bekever in the name of the Talmid Rabbi Akiva. So I think the legacy is a little bit confusing. On the one hand, the Talmid Rabbi Akiva, and different people try saying different pshatim and exactly who they were and what it means, Shalai Nagu Kavod Zeh LaZeh, and what the chet was. And you see, Torah couldn't be built through them, but then at the same time, we mourn them as being tzaddikim. So how exactly do you understand the legacy of the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva? So lulei de mistafina, in capital letters, maybe you can say a davar chadash. That is, so we're here al Admas Kodesh, we're in Prishbarg, Bratislava, which is not very far from the tzion of the Heilige Chasam Sofer. Now, unbeknownst to many, the Chasam Sofer never wrote a Sefer during his lifetime. Now, it sounds shocking because we have so much Torah from the Chasam Sofer. There's 7 volumes of Tshuvas. You have 5 volumes of Torah Smoich ala Torah, 5 volumes of Chasam Sofer ala Torah. You have hundreds and hundreds of drushes from the Chasam Sofer. You have Agoyis in Shulchan Aruch, you have Agoyis ala Shas. Just think about the amount of Torah that we have from the Chasam Sofer. And we know the Chasam Sofer wrote, yet the Chasam Sofer B'chayav, this is a fact, never ever wrote a Sefer. As a matter of fact, Reb Shimon Sofer, the Chasam Sofer's son, printed a letter that his father had received from someone where somebody wrote to the Chassam Sofer that I heard you put out a sefer, and you know, I'm asking you very kindly, I'm requesting, maybe you could send me a copy of this new sefer that you wrote. And the Chassam Sofer writes back to him. He says that Vashmua Sheshamu Malosam Shaitse Chibur Echad, this rumor that you heard that I wrote a sefer, Ubikshu Mimenu Lushal Chushama, and you want me to send a sefer to you, Dover Zel Lohir Harti Boy, Foloi Ola Libi Adayim. I want you to know, it's something I never even had a hearer to write a sefer. And up until now, I could say I never had such a machshava. Why? And he explained himself. He says, Ki l'ru b'da al moshehim g'doylim v'toyvim mimeni. He said, because for most of the world that are bigger than me in learning, oy l'chalapachas ke'erki, or at the very least, now on the same level as me, heim aloy tzrichin l'didi. What do they need my sefer for? Anything that I'm going to write in my svarim, they already know. And he says, for the miyuta people that are maybe not on my level, and maybe I can impart some wisdom to them, I'm not like Rav Meir, I'm not chayish l'miyuta. And as a result, I don't feel that I have to now spend my life writing svarim for the miyuta people that are maybe going to have a benefit from it. And then he said, and let's say it would be, shiroi v'olim tzrichem l'cholila, that chalila the world would have to come on to me. I don't know of a chiyuv anywhere. I'm not aware of a makar that says that a person has an obligation and responsibility to spread his Torah. But this I will tell you, that as long as the Eibush is going to give me life, and the Eibush is going to give me strength, I'm willing to learn Torah with anyone that wants to hear Torah. I won't stop. And it's not going to cost any money either. Not just that, and I'll respond. I'll write tshuvas. I don't want anything in return. Second time he said it. I don't need anything in return. But I will tell you that I write. I write a lot on halacha. I write a lot on agada. And they're hefker. Kol misha roitzel hatikon. If anybody wants, you can come. No, you can have it. It's all yours. It's hefker. Take my ksavim. You can go ahead and write. And he says, I know there were tzaddikim that used to be noyik like this. More than that, I'm not obligated to do. And as a result, I don't want to do it. Lamaisa, Reb Shimon Sofer and the sons of the Chassam Sofer and the Talmidim of the Chassam Sofer, towards the end of his life, they started pushing him. And they said, Klal Yisrael is going to benefit from your Svarim. I mean, you see, the real reason the Chassam Sofer didn't want to write Svarim was this incredible anav. He didn't think anybody was going to have from it. And they tried telling the Chassam Sofer, people are going to have more from it than you realize. And you should write a Sefer, you should write a Sefer. And then finally, Ba'achris Yomav, at the very, very end of his life, he agreed. And he said, I'm willing to write a Sefer. And they started working on putting together his Ksavim. And before the first Sefer came out, the Chassam Sofer passed away. So the Chassam Sofer is Nifter, and there wasn't one Sefer from the Chassam Sofer that had been printed. Now, as soon as the Petiria of the Chassam Sofer happens, then the Mishpacha got together, Uber Roisham, Chassam Sofer's son, Reb Shimon Sofer, the Kruk of the Rav, and he said, now it's time to start putting out this far. And the first Sefer was printed about a year after his Petiria, and it was Shnaylus Tshuvas Yeridei. And that was the very, very first Sefer ever printed. Now, Reb Shimon Sofer sat down to put out, to be matfis, the tshuvas that Chassam Sofer wrote, Yerideya, Chelek Aleph. And Reb Shimon Sofer said that the minig is that when a mechaber puts out a sefer, he writes a hakdama to a sefer. He said, but my father never wrote a sefer, and as a result, he never wrote a hakdama. So it's my responsibility right now to write a hakdama to the Chassam Sofer svar. But he said, how could I go about and write a hakdama to the Chassam Sofer? It's not shaykh. What am I even going to write? He said, should I start saying over different pulpulim that he said, different drush, different agad? I don't think that's what my father would have wanted. And besides, that's what the svarim are going to be. I don't think that's the hakdama. I need a hakdama. So he said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I decided that what I'm going to do is, I'm going to take sichas chulin of my father. That's his lashon. And the sichas chulin that he used to tell me as a son, and all his children, and all his talmidim, like they could all be made. And that compilation of the Sichas Chulin, the things that I know meant more to the Chassam Sofer than anything else, that's what I'm going to put out. And that was the very first Hakdama that was written to the very, very first Sefer of the Chassam Sofer that was ever printed, Shalos Tshuvos Yerideya. And then Reb Shimon Sofer said, I have to give this Chibur, which really represents the Sichas Chulin of the Tata, a name, and he gave it a name. And the name that he gave it was Petuchei Chosem. And he said, the reason I'm calling it Petuchei Chosem is Rithu's lashon. L'chefetz hazeh birarti sichas chulin denafik mipumi demar abezei chetzadik levrach. V'samti lehem makom lias knisas pesach shar l'sifrei chsam sofer. Because it's a pesach. This is the entranceway. This is how you enter the world and the universe of the chsam sofer. It's through this. The karoset b'shem petuchei chosam. I don't think it's a mikra that today's daf, it's mind-boggling. But today's daf mentioned what? Petuchei Chosin. But the bottom line is that the name of this Hakdama was the Petuchei Chosin, and this, in the words of Reb Shimon Sofer, the Kruk of the Rav, was in a nutshell, this was the essence, this really touched up what the Sichas Chulin, what the essence of the Chassam Sofer. So what was the Sichas Chulin of the Chassam Sofer? What was it that the Chassam Sofer used to tell his sons, and he used to tell it to his Talmidim, Voshtetim Petuchei Chosin? So if you look in the Petuchei Chosin, it's really divided into two groups. But the majority of it, Rav Minyan and Rav Binyan, of Petuchei Chosin, is one Yesod. I'll just mention the Yesod, and then how the Chassam Sofer brings out the Yesod. The Yesod is that a person was not created to become the most perfect version of himself. That's not why they wish to put you on this world. Obviously, that too. But that's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is that a person has to try to make the people around him the most perfect version of them. That's the tachlis. And a person, when he thinks about his avodah Hashem, his avodah is not, how do I become the best this and the best that? But rather, the hashkafa has to be, how do I make the people, what could I do that's going to make the biggest difference in the world so that I'm going to assist other people and help them be the best version of themselves? And the Chassam Sofer added to this, this is all part of the mission statement, and that is, you have to do this even at your own expense. Meaning, even if you doing that, and you make your avodah sachayim, that I'm going to try to make the world around me a better place, well, that means it's going to come at my ability to learn what I want to learn and maybe do what I want to do. It doesn't matter, you do it anyways. The mission statement continues and says, but you should know that you're never going to lose. You're never going to lose. Don't think you're going to lose. You're never going to lose. Additionally, not only are you never going to lose, but usually you're going to end up really, really gaining. And that really, in a nutshell, in English, is the yisoy, the takeaway of the Petuchei Chosin. Just to bring it out a little bit with some Torah. The way the Chassam Sofer began the Petuchei Chosin is, we know who's the patriarch of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael begins, the story of the Jews begins with Avraham Avinu. Hashem chose Avraham Avinu and he said, this is the person that I want to build a nation through. Why Avraham Avinu? What was so special and what was so unique about Avraham Avinu that the Eibishter decided that Klal Yisrael is going to come through Avraham Avinu? In fact, the Chassam Sofer asks, everybody knows that in the beginning of time, there was a man, his name was Chanoich. And the Pasuk says, Vayisali Chanoich, Esu Elikim, Ve'inet, right? Chanoich reached such a madrega that he's not here anymore. Rashi says, what happened to Chanoich? He became a malach. He didn't just become a malach. He became the malach matach, Shishmoy Kishem Rabbi, Ramamish, the Yad Yamin Kaviyochel. That's who the Malach Matat is. Freit Chassam Sofer, why did Hashem choose to build Klal Yisrael through Avraham Avinu? Wouldn't it have been better to choose Chanoich to build a nation through? Said the Chassam Sofer, Chanoich was Meiridik. He reached unbelievable Madregas. The Madregas that Chanoich reached, no human being ever reached. In fact, he became a Malach. He became not just a Malach, the Malach Matat. But the reason Chanoich, says the Chassam Sofer, was able to become a Malach, the reason he was able to come Chanoich is because the avoida of Chanoich was, I'm going to sit and I'm going to be mespoided and I'm going to learn and I'm going to serve Hashem and I'm going to do it on the highest level, on the spitz level, to the point that he taka became a Malach. And it's not Shayach, he's a Malach Matat. No one's negotiating that. But to build Klal Yisrael, Hashem didn't want a Malach. What Hashem wanted was somebody who had demonstrated that he was willing to give up to make the people around him. And that was Avraham Avinu. And the Chassam Sofer said that the emesis is a mefurish pasuk. The pasuk says Hashem chose Avraham. Why? Ki yedativ. Because I know the manashe yitzave es bonov es pesay acharav v'shamru derech Hashem. Because that is what Avraham Avinu is. In fact, the Chassam Sofer says if Avraham Avinu wanted to be a malach like Chanoich, he could have been a malach. But Avraham Avinu made a cheshbon that if Hashem wanted another malach, he would have created another malach. He made me a person, obviously because he wants me to be a person, not to be a malach. And my avodah then is going to be to try to make the people around me better. And that, says the Chassam Sofer, is the reason that Avraham Avinu was the one that was chosen from everybody. The Chassam Sofer used to say, it's Margul Bapume, this is all in the Petuchei Chosin, but this is Margul Bapume. The Gemara says, Marab doima l'malach Hashem tzvokis yivakish toyer mipiyu. If your Rebbe is like a malach, you should learn toyer from him. And if he's not like a malach, al yivakish toyer mipiyu. So what does it mean? So Chassam Sofer said that we know a person is oila and a yomid. Right? People, we have better days, we have worse days. A good zman, a bad zman. People are oila v'yomid. A malach is an oymid. A malach is programmed. A malach is built to be in a certain place. And that's who he is. He goes on cruise control. He said, a Rebbe is like a malach. If a Rebbe is willing to be an oymid, a Rebbe is willing to forgo his own aliyah. Why? So like this, he'll be able to make his talmidim better? Yevakish terem epiyu. Vim lav. But if your Rebbe is focused on making himself better at the expense of sharing with the talmidim, such a Rebbe is al yevakish terem epiyu. One of the inyanim that the Chassam Sofer explains by bringing out this point is the story of Aharon HaKohen. Aharon HaKohen, we know, was the Kohen Gadol. We also know Aharon HaKohen was involved in the Chet Egels. This is something that we've talked about Ba'arichos over several Reb Bites. But Rashi says in the beginning of Parashat Shmini that when Moshe told Aharon, Krav al HaMizbeach, so Aharon didn't want to go. He says, what, I'm going to go to the Mizbeach? What do you mean? I was involved in the Chet Egel. And the Eveshter told him, no, go. Why? Ki lekach nevcharta. Because of the Chet Egel, that's why you were chosen. And it's really Dvarim Stumen. And the Chassam Sofer talks about this in a lot of different places. But says the Chassam Sofer that the reason Aharon HaKohen engaged in the Chet Egel was to save Klal Yisrael. Because he knew that had he not gotten the Yidden to worship the Egel, they would have killed him. And had they killed him, they would have killed the Kohen Venavi. And the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Dav Zayin Amad Aleph, they would have had no takana. So he gave himself up. He gave himself up. It was a suicide mission. He said, I'll do Avodah Zarah. I'll be machshelem in Avodah Zarah. I'll lose my whole Olam Haba. But there's going to be a Klal Yisrael. You are willing to give up, not just your Olam Haza. You're willing to give up your whole Olam Haba to save a Klal Yisrael. L'kach nevcharta. That's why you were chosen. Chassam Sofer used to say that Aharon HaKohen, the Mishnah says, Hevi mitamidu shel Aharon HaKohen. Right? Somebody asks, what does it mean, Hevi mitamidu shel Aharon HaKohen? You say, I don't know, it should be the Kohen Gadol. That's going to be roy to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim lefnai v'lefnin. The Chassam Sofer said, having mitamid of Shal Aharon HaKohen means you should be an oyev shalom, you should be a roid of shalom, you should be an oyev esabriyas, and you should be makarvim. That's what it means to be mitamid of Shal Aharon HaKohen. Mitamid of Shal Aharon HaKohen means you should be on the madrega that you can walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and you can hear a koil, whether it's in Lashon HaKodesh or in Lashon Arami, and you should be able to hear what's going on the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Having mitamid of Shal Aharon HaKohen is to be a oyev esabriyas makarvim l'tayr. So the Chassam Sofer, yeah, that's talmid of Shal Aharon HaKohen. The real talmid of Shal Aharon HaKohen is that Indian. Hakel. We just learned about Hakel in the Daf. So who came to Hakel? Everybody came to Hakel. Anoshim, Noshim, the Daf. Anoshim came why? Lilmoy. Noshim came Lishmoy. Why did the children come? It's Gemara Chagiga, Daf Gimel Amid Aleph. Litein Schar Lemivieh. Chassam Sofer asks, I understand. You're going to Hakel. It's once every 7 years. The purpose of Hakel is the Lashonis of the Rambam that we spoke at during the Daf. It's to learn Torah. It's Kamayim Har Sinai. Right? This is a once in a Shemitah event, which is so powerful, it has to last, it has to make a 7-year Rosh Hashanah. So you know what you do? You bring the children. And what's going to happen if you bring the children? They're going to make a gerida, they're going to be making noise, it's going to be vild. If there's ever a time to call a babysitter for a couple of hours that you can go by yourself and be inspired, this would be the time. No, bring the children, and doesn't say because there were no babysitters. It says, Litein Schar Lemivieh. It says the reason is fakert, because you want to give schar to the people that are bringing these children. So, Chassam Sofer, you know what the Torah is coming to teach us? This lesson. You're going now to get your ruchnias. You're going now to be inspired. You would think if there's ever a time to leave the children home, now's the time. Fakert, you bring the children now to show that even though by the children being there, it's going to come at the cheshvan of you not being able to understand perfectly what you're hearing, and it's for sure going to come at a personal invoice. There's no shaila that's going to come at a personal invoice. But at the same time, show that that's not the tachlis. The tachlis is not for you to hear every word. The tachlis is to be mechanech your children. Bring them along. Let them understand what's going on. That's the real tachlis. And that's why by hakel, they used to bring the children. Likin tzchar lemivieyen. In the beginning of Parshas Vayera, Vayera Elav Hashem. Hashem is by Avram Avinu, and then all of a sudden Avram Avinu sees three archim coming. So what does he do? He tells the Abish, I'm sorry, I have to grab this click. Right? He puts the Abish on hold. He goes running after them. Come in, take your shoes off. Maybe you need a coffee. Maybe I can give you something. And he starts being mechabed them. And the Gemara says, Mesach de Shabbos, l'lametcha, you learn from here, shegdoy l'hachnosis archim, yoysim me'akpolas pnei shechina. Right? Hachnosis archim is bigger than the Abish. Vayera Elav Hashem. They were just talking to Avram Avinu. And then all of a sudden, Avram Avinu tells the Eibishter, 1 second, hold that thought. And then he comes back. What's the oymik in it? The oymik is, what was the achnosis orchim of Avram Avinu? The achnosis orchim, it's also Gemara Masech Tesoito. He would say that after the meal, people, they would come and they would give him a yashikoyach. And Avram Avinu would say, you're giving me a shikoyach? What did I do? You're thanking the wrong person. Say, okay, so who should we thank? So he would tell them, Imdu dichim shaliach achaltem mishalel keyolam achaltem hoydu v'shipchu baruchu l'mishalem v'hoyolam. And they would say, what? Who created the world? And the next thing you know, you're in a Kiruv seminar, and boom, you know, believe there's an Eibishne, you got the cuckoo, and you're off to the races, right? That's what went on by Avraham Avinu. Said, what was Avraham Avinu's hachnosas archim? It was being makariv yedin. Gedoyla achnosas archim yoyse me'akbalas p'nei shechina. Hachnosas archim, meaning Avraham Avinu's hachnosas archim, of being makariv yedin, of bringing people closer to Hashem. Avraham Avinu was in a state of espoidedness. Avraham Avinu's vayera elav Hashem. But hachnosas archim of Avraham Avinu is greater than the vayera all of Hashem. But you don't lose, said the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer said, that's the soid of mitalmida yoyse mikulan. Mitalmida yoyse mikulan, how's that possible? You learn more from your Rebbe's than from your Talmidim. The teretz is because when a person gives himself up to his Talmidim, it's going to be mitalmida yoyse mikulam. You're going to end up learning more from your Talmidim because of the siyata deshmaya that comes. Because of the fact that you're not going to lose. Repreda, classic example. Repreda sat with a Talmid, he taught him 400 times, then he taught him another 400 times. And what was he zoichet to? He was zoichet to arichas yomim. Why? To show that you don't lose by giving up time. You think you're losing. No, you're not losing. To the contrary, you end up gaining. One of the inyanim that the Chassam Sofer explained is the death of Nadav Avihu, which is also an enigma a little bit. Misas Nadav and Avihu. Nadav Avihu, these great tzaddikim, and then all of a sudden they're never heard from again. So the Chassam Sofer says that one of the reasons the Gemara says that Nadav Avihu died is because they weren't Oisik and Piri Virivya. It's a Gemara. The Gemara says they weren't Oisik and Piri Virivya. So Pasha, it sounds like they weren't Mekayim, the first mitzvah in the Torah, the mitzvah Puravu. But the Chassam Sofer said there's a tremendous oimik in that. The oimik is that Piri Virivya means having children. Piri Virivya also means having Talmidim. Because Kol HaMalamed is Ben Chaveri Torah, Malo Olav HaKosov, Ki'ilu Yodah. He says Nadav and Avihu were incredible tzaddikim. They were incredible tzaddikim. They were the ones that were going to lead the Yidden into Eretz Yisrael. Right? Masa, Yamusu, Skeinim, Elu, and Nadav and Avihu, that's when this was all going to happen. But at the same time, they weren't Oisik and Piri Virivya. And because they weren't Oisik and Piri Virivya, ultimately they ended up dying. They died, not Chalila in Oynish, but at the same time, their role that they could have had and that they should have had, which was to lead the Yidden into Eretz Yisrael, they didn't have. And the reason is because they weren't Isaac in the Sinyan. And to be Zoicha, to be an Avraham Avinu, to be Zoicha, to be the one through whom we're going to build a nation, you have to be someone that's willing to give up. If you're willing to give up from yourself, then through such a person, Aaron HaKoyim, Kilokach Nuvcharta. What does it mean to be Mitamid Shal Aaron HaKoyim? Oyev Shalom, Reitav Shalom, Oyev Esabriyas, Makarim Lotar. Why did Hashem pick Avraham Avinu? Why did he pick Chanoich? Because Ki Yedat, Lamana Sheyitzav, is born of his Beis HaYacharov. It's because of the fact that Avraham Avinu gave himself up. The way to become a leader is by giving yourself up. Nadav and Avihu, this is all the Chassam Sofer talking. Nadav and Avihu were great tzaddikim. They were tremendous tzaddikim, but they weren't Isaac and Piri Virivya, said the Chassam Sofer. They didn't have children. They didn't have Talmidim that are Nechshavka children. They didn't tap into this inyan of Avraham Avinu. They didn't tap into this inyan of Aharon HaKoyen. They were Chanoich. Chanoich is a tzaddik. Ve'inenu, kilok ha'choysel, what happened to Nadav and Avihu? Ve'inenu, they went in, the karvosam, right, grace zachem, v'shtein svar makdosh, what went on, Nadav and Avihu, mamish v'hibayay mashmini, this was mamish ravid deravim. But what were Nadav and Avihu? They're not the ones that took the Yidden into Eretz Yisrael. Because in order to be Zoicha, in order to be the ones to take the Yidden into Eretz Yisrael, for that already you would have to give yourself up. So I was thinking, Lulei de Mistafino. Lulei de Mistafino. This Gemara, Mesach de Sivam, Mistaf, Samach Beis Amadeis, that says that the reason Talmid Rabbi Akiva passed away, Ishmaelay Nogin Kovitz Ebezet, is also a Medrash. It's a Kehelis Rabbah. It's a Kehelis Rabbah in Perik Yud Aleph, Yud. But if you look at the Kehelis Rabbah, there's one difference. And I think this difference is mamash a game changer in how you understand this. Maybe. Kehelis Rabbah says as follows. It says, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva said, Shneim Osir Alofin Talmidim Hoyuli Migvas Va'adan Tifras. V'kula Mesu B'chai. It's Rabbi Akiva talking in the first person. They all died during my lifetime. Between Pesach and Atzeres. U'besoif hemidu l'shiva. But afterwards I had seven other Talmidim. Not five, that's what the Gemara says. Seven. Ve'eluhay, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemya, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimba Yechoy, Rabbi Eliezer, Benoish, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler. Amalehem. So Rabbi Akiva starts fresh. He just opened up a new yeshiva. He went from having the biggest yeshiva, 24,000 Talmidim, now he has seven Talmidim. So he turns to his Talmidim and he tells them the following. He says, Harishoinim loy mesu, I want you to know, I had 24,000 Talmidim and they all died. You want to know why they died? Because they were tsar ayin towards each other when it came to Torah. Atem loitiyu kein. He says, you don't be this way. Don't make the mistake they made. Miyad immediately. Amdu, they got up. Umilu kol eretz Yisrael Torah. They filled the world with Torah. And that's how they made sure that the fate of the other 24,000 Talmidim wouldn't happen to them. What's the difference in this Medrash? Five Talmidim, seven Talmidim, say them. The difference is, our Gemara says that they were loinagu kovet zebizeh. Stop, they weren't loinagu kovet to each other. The Medrash says, shahoyseh neyem tsara batoira zelozeh. You know what happened? They were tsarayim batoira. Lulei de mistafina. Maybe, the Talmidim Rabbi Akiva were tremendous tzaddikim. I mean, not maybe. They for sure were. They were tremendous tzaddikim. But they were tzaddikim farzich. But when it came to the other chevra, hoisei neim tzorah batoira zelozeh. And therefore they died. Not they died chalila as an oynish. But it was misas chanoich. They nenu kilaka chayse lekim. It's the misa of Nadav and Avihu, who are not worthy through whom to fill the world with Torah, because that's not what they're doing. You can't be a leader unless you give yourself up like Avraham Avinu, unless you give yourself up like Aharon HaKohen, Ki lo kach nevchart, because he gave himself up by the Chet HaEgel, Zok Tachsam Sofer. And therefore, they were tremendous, but they all died. They died, not like Nagu, Kovet, Zeb, they chatted with each other. But there's a certain oimik of Petuchei Choysim, the Gehergish, that maybe was lacking, and as a result, they were not worthy through whom Torah should come. So now Rabbi Akiva sat down with his Talmidim. You know what he told his Talmidim? Atem loitiyu ke miyad. What did they do? Read the Medrash. Amdu, they got up. Umilu, kol Eretz Yisrael Torah. They started running around Eretz Yisrael, and they started teaching the world Torah. They understood that if we're going to be a neyem tsaru batayra zelazel, we're going to end up in the same place. So what did they do? Miyad amdu, umilu, kol Eretz Yisrael Torah. The Talmid Rabbi Akiva were tremendous tzaddikim. That's why we mourn them 2,000 years later. But at the same time, the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died. And the reason is because they weren't ruined through whom Torah should be built. And that's where Rabbi Akiva went. That he told his next group of Talmidim, he says, don't make the same mistake. But rather, what you need to do is you have to be umdu umilu kol Eretz Yisrael, Torah, the kachav. And that's why everything that we have today, the whole Talmud Bavli, from Meitz, from Yehuda, from Nechemiah, from Yosef, from Shem Ba'ichot, that is what the Torah is, because that was the response. It was miyad umdu umilu kol Eretz Yisrael, Torah. And I think I have a raya brura that maybe this is emes. And that is the Chassam Sofer in this inyan, where he talks about Petuchei Choysim, the one vart he said the most, and it was a vart that he'd say over in the name of his Rebbe Dafla, is that the Gemara says, that Rabbi Akiva says, if two people are walking together in a road, and they have a kitan shalmayim, there's one little jug of water, and they're both mamish starving, and they're about to die of thirst. So what should you do? So it was Machlokes ben Petura and the Chachamim. Ben Petura said that nobody should drink it. V'layomas, a person shouldn't have to witness his friend die because of the fact that he decided that he's going to drink the water and the other person is the Achbar, Rabbi Akiva. Until Rabbi Akiva came and he said, Chayecha koidim l'chayecha ber. No, what do you mean? Chayecha koidim, you're definitely, if you have the water, you drink the water. Freik, toisvis, and mesach the Sanhedrin akasha. He says, I don't understand. Rabbi Akiva said, Chayecha koidim l'chayecha ber. Didn't Rabbi Akiva say, V'yahafta l'reyacha kamoicha, zek klal gadol batayra? That's Rabbi Akiva's nigin, right? It's Rabbi Akiva's member. He's the one that said, what's the kasha? Chayecha koida means, I'm more than you. Means you have to love your friend just as much as you love yourself. That means you're equal. So which one is it? Am I more than my friend or are we equal? It's Tosfos kasha. So Chassam Sofer used to say, margul b'pume, in the name of the hafla, that the hafla said, loy kasha. Kan binyani oylem hazeh, kan binyani oylem haba. In other words, kan binyani gashmias, kan binyani ruchnias. He said, if two people are walking together on a road and it's a question of who gets the glass of water, Rabbi Akiva says, chayecha koidim, you come first. But when it comes to ruchnias, there's no chayecha koidim. There's no chayecha koidim when it comes to ruchnias. And Afla said, v'yahavta l'reyacha kamoicha, zek hal gadol batoira daika. When it comes to Torah, when it comes to Inyan and Ruchnias, that's when you have this Inyan. So when it comes to a glass of water, Chayecha Koidim. But when it comes to all Torah Digazachin, all Ruchnias Digazachin, over here, you don't have this Inyan of Chayecha Koidim. And over here, that's when you have it. You have to Reyecha Kamoich, that's when we're eagle. It's that called God about Torah. The Sfar Maktoshim say, that why did Rabbi Akiva say, where did he get this Einfall from? We have to Reyecha Kamoich, it's that called God about Torah. He saw it from his Talmidim. Because he had 24,000 Talmidim that were tzaddikim and they all died. Why? Shloinagu kovet zebeze. Hatrabi Akiva gesagt, oh boy, this shloinagu kovet zebeze is serious business. So he said, v'yahavkul reyachah kamoichah zeh kal gal debatayr. But the way the Chassam Sofer himself learns in his svarim, v'yahavkul reyachah kamoichah means what? It doesn't mean stam love you. It means davke binyani ruchni is. And that's the tikkun on Mises Rabbi Akiva. That means Mises Rabbi Akiva was a pgam in this inyan. It's poshut math. That means Mises Rabbi Akiva was because they weren't oymen on v'yahavkul reyachah kamoichah. Because shahoy sein neyim tzorah batayr zeh. And that's Rabbi Akiva. After he saw Mises Talmidov, he told them, he sent Petuchei Choysim. Yet Vashdeich to Petuchei Choysim. He told his Talmidov what the Chassam Sofer used to tell his Talmidov. He said, Aten loy ti ukein. Miad amdu umilu kol eretz Yisrael teira. And this was the Petuchei Choysim. This is the Sicha School. And this is Mamish Vashdeich in the Sefer Chassam Sofer. Then it says, at the end of the Petuchei Choysim, Rav Shimon Sofer writes, he says as follows, Shamati mi piva kodesh. I heard from the Chassam Sofer's holy mouth. From the day that he started teaching Talmidim, there was never a day of the year that passed by that he didn't teach Torah to his Talmidim, with the exception of Tisha B'Av. Gam b'Leil Yom Kippur. Even on Leil Yom Kippur, his asvu elo v'adorim, he says the oil would flock to him. He would teach them the avodah of the Beis Hamikdash. In the new Petuchei Choysim, so if you look on the bottom, so there's a comment here from Rav Shlomiak. So he brings as follows. He quotes the Sefer Lekutei Chever Ben Chaim. So Lekutei Chever Ben Chaim was one of the greatest Talmidim of the Chassam Sofer. His name was Chizkiah Chaim Plaut. So he wrote a lot of Torah from the Chassam Sofer. And he says as follows. I'm reading to you L'shoyne Yazob. He says, B'lel Kol Nidre, the night of Kol Nidre. What did the Chassam Sofer's Leil Kol Nidre look like? So this is already Nuch Kol Nidre. Davening's over. Herich Shama, he would wake. Ad Gomrei Atzibur Sefer Rishem Yisefer Tehillim. He would wait until the Olam finished the first Sefer of Tehillim. V'oz Bola Beisoy B'simcha V'chedva. Then he would come home, and he was very, very happy. In Magudas Isve Besamim Biyodei, and he was holding Besamim in his hand. Va'amalah Talmidim Hamiyachlan Loi Bebeisai Gityantif, and there were Talmidim waiting for him, and he would vinch them a Gityantif. V'yotshav Al Kisai, and then he would sit down on his chair. V'limed Seif Avoida, and he would learn the Avoida together with the Talmidim. Ad Marakoyin V'ad Bechal, he'd get up to Marakoyin, went through the whole Avoida, Ad Bechal. V'ashrei Ayin Ros Hamalach Hashem Tzvokis Halozeh B'Layla Hakdusha Azoyis. He said, any person that was zoicha to see the Chassam Sofer teaching the Avoida on the holiest night of the year, Ashrei Ayin Rasa. V'achak Ma'alim would say the Avoida. After they finished learning the Avoida, Hoyadarki Latzia Eze Kushya B'Halacha V'Toysvis. Then they'd get into Lomdus a little bit. He would ask them a kasha, and it was based on a sugya that they had handled already Shabbos Shuvah. V'achaz Elomad Shas B'Mokim Sha'amad Oz. Then he would say Shir, whatever they were holding on, first Seder. V'kach Himshich ad shah acha chatzos, and it would go until an hour after chatzos. Ukerois na talmidim ki hischol is namne. When the talmidim would see that the Chassam Sofer was starting to get tired, so soru me'olav. So slowly they got a little uncomfortable, so they would start leaving. V'amalem he would tell them l'chu bonai. Says my sons go. V'hispalulu alai b'yoy makodesh. He says I'm asking you please daven for me tomorrow. The Chassam Sofer would ask his talmidim. He says hispalulu alai b'yoy makodesh. Ubedvarim elu zogu ein of d'mois. And as he would say this to his Talmidim, he would cry. Which is, of course, a play on a mission in the beginning of Masechtas Yuma. And then they would ask, the Talmidim would, the Rebbe for a bracha, and he would give them each a bracha. So they would all pass him. The whole Talmid, Mavin, every Talmud that understood, Omar Omen. He would say Omen, and then he would say the words, the Chen Lamar. The Hikbid. And then the Lekutei Chever Ben Chaim says that the Chassam Sofer had a peda al Mishal Yom of Vechei Lamar. He was very, very makbid that the Olam should say Vechei Lamar. And any person that didn't say Vechei Lamar, it was something that bothered him. But the Chassam Sofer, this is Leil Yom Kippur, every single, with the exception of Tisha B'Av, he always teaches Talmidim Torah. You know, it's Yidua that in the year Tovkuf Tzadik Aleph, 1831, the Chassam Sofer was very, very sick. He was a geisis during that time. And actually, everyone thought he was going to pass. He ended up living another 9 years. But people thought he was going to pass away during those years. One of the drushes that he gave in the year Tovkuf Tzadik Aleph, he writes as follows. He talks about how he's very sick right now, and it's very difficult for him to give the shurim that he always gave. And then he says, V'hine yizei yoyse me'arboim shana, shalei nespatlo yeshiva ma'al shulchani afilu yoyim echad. He said, I could be made that it's more than 40 years that I haven't gone one day without teaching Torah. He said, it's very difficult for me to teach Torah. However, and Talmidim, what? And unfortunately, I can't. He says, Vareni Akar. He was teaching, the Pasuk says, Baruch Tia Mikola Amin Loyir. So what does that mean to be an akar? He said, akar is someone that can't be mashpia. He can't teach his talmidim. And he said, later, he says, the pasuk says, lo yir b'cha akar. He says, I wasn't zoicha to that because I'm in a situation right now where this is not something I can do. In one of the very poignant moments that bring out this inyan, with the final moment of the Chassam Sofer's life. So we know the Chassam Sofer was nifter on Chof Hei Tishrei. So the last Simchas Torah, which is literally a few days before the Chassam Sofer passed away. So this is in the Igros Sofrim, and it's letter Ayin Tes from the letters of the Chassam Sofer. So it's interesting because the makar to this letter is, it comes from the Pinkus of Presburg. So this is a hetik mi Pinkus hakol dekiv l'kadosh of Presburg hamatir. So azoy shneit in Pinkus, this is what happened, the last Simchas Torah of the Chassam Sofer's life. He writes that the Einenu Dimma Me'ena Fuga, we're crying when we reminisce and we remember Simchas Torah. He says that we're reading from the Sefer Torah and Parshas V'Zayis HaBracha, that's what you read, and it was very clear that the Chassam Sofer wasn't well. And when the Chazan said, Vayomos Moshe Eved Hashem, all of a sudden there was quiet in the room because it was taken as a sign, Vayomos Moshe, Chassam Sofer, or Moshe Sofer, that this was mamish going to be the end. And he said, we were looking at the Chassam Sofer, and he was in terrible, terrible Yisurim. And it was taken as an omen. It was just a bad sign. Everybody felt like, maybe this is it. Ukedarka b'kodesh. But he says, despite the fact that the Chassam Sofer was so sick at that point, he went and he started darshaning. And he gave shir. And the Olam was standing around him. And he was chazing over Torah that they had said during Chol HaMoed. And he said he tried so hard because even though he was so sick, and these were Mamish's last days, but Alpha Pika, and he felt that this was something that he had to do. Either way, they bring here that he couldn't really finish the shir. He went home, and then 2 days later, Yotzen Ishmasi B'Tahira. But the bottom line is this. The bottom line is, you know, you hear a lot about Einuklich from the Chassam Sofer, Talmidim of the Chassam Sofer. So what does it mean to be a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer? Way above my pay grade. Aber Rav Shimon Sofer was megalotos, what it meant. What it meant was, is to really follow in the mantra of what the Chassam Sofer represented. When we think of the Chassam Sofer, so we think about the tzaddik, and we think about the lamdin, and the meshiv, and the sar of drush, and the pnimius ha-Torah, that kiyodua is hidden inside Torah's Chassam Sofer. But really, what it meant to be a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer, I guess, was what the Chassam Sofer would have told us if we were sitting in the Chassam Sofer's yeshiva. And what the Chassam Sofer would have told us based on the Eidus of Reb Shimon Sofer, and really all the Talmidei Chassam Sofer, was, in a nutshell, it's the Petuchei Chosam. And the Petuchei Chosam is that a person was put on this world with a mission, with a purpose. The purpose is, obviously, to serve Hashem, and to learn Torah, and to do mitzvahs. But the ultimate goal is not for us to be able to be as best versions of ourselves as possible, but it's to help make the world around us a better place and to be mashpia. And even if it means that we're going to have to give up from our own personal aliyah to be able to embark on this avodas hakodesh, but that's what we're supposed to do. But remember that mitamida yoyse mikulam, you don't end up losing. And Rapreda, who taught his Talmud 400 times, was zoicha to an incredible arichas yamin, because at the end of the day, you don't lose. There's no such thing as losing. But as it relates to being a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer, I think that's the definition of Talmud of Chassam Sofer. Just to end with a final hergish is, you know, Baruch Hashem Ar Chabura, I think we're Talmud of Chassam Sofer. I think we learn the Chassam Sofer's Torah all the time, and I think that that's what it means to be a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer, to be in the yeshiva of the Chassam Sofer. And I think we've had the schus to do that. One thing is clear, that the Chassam Sofer's chavivus that he had for his Talmidim was Ein L'Shayer. And the erech that he had for his Talmidim was Ein L'Shayer. You read the tshuvas, the way he talks to his Talmidim, he really has no time. But chavivi, yukari, he says, how could I not answer you? You're my tired Talmud. You learned the Sefer HaZikaron, which is an autobiographical account that the Chassam Sofer wrote when Presburg was under siege during the French Revolution, where he talks about his Talmidim there. And the way he was medaktik to look out for every single one of his talmidim, it was a nifle de gazach. I mean, what more do you need than that one line that in Yom Kippur the Chassam Sofer would tell his talmidim daven for me? So does that tell you the erech and the chshivas that the Chassam Sofer had towards his talmidim? And we should take a bizoicha to go visit the Heiliger Rebbe, tzaddikim b'misasim kruim chayim. Especially if you learn the Torah of the Chassam Sofer, it's a source of dovos bekever, coming as talmidim chavivim. We should be zeichot to poil alles gut.